All right, on this episode of Bouts Talkin' Bouts, excited to be talking to an individual who is set to compete at BYB 15, and that goes down on February 3rd. We've got an intriguing interaction here. We have Nadine Mandiao and Randine Eckholm getting out there, and should be a great bare-knuckle boxing showcase, and great having Randine on the show today. How's everything going with the training ahead of this one, Randine?
It's going really well. We've been focused, especially since we made the debut. We now know what more to prepare for with this triangle ring, and I think it's going to be a really good fight. I think we're going to be able to show off my skills a lot better than we did last time.
Yeah, I was gonna be one of the first ones I asked, because you had like a previous bare knuckle fight in the BKFC ring, and then you had the experience last time fighting in the Trigon. Like, what have you added to your camp that accounts for that? Like, you're talking about like being more accustomed to like the dimensions of the Trigon this time out. Like, what have you done in your camp to kind of like lead towards that?
We're making adjustments and we're getting some sparring rounds in the smaller size ring, so we can adjust to being in a triangle and adjust for those corners, because it's a little different getting stuck in those corners, which you don't want to do. So we're just making some adjustments like that, and just other things that we just feel like were always holes in my game that we could step up and improve.
And I think, too, just like, yeah, the short notice nature of like the last one, like I feel like you'd be able to show like more of the skill set this time out with like more of like a full camp under you. Like, I believe the last one was like 10 days notice before the debut. Like, do you feel like you'll be able to show a more comprehensive?
And it'll be in my proper weight class too, which I think will make a huge difference as well. Last one I took on the 10 days notice was at 145, and I thought in my mind, yeah, I guess I'm a bigger person. I walk around bigger, so I should be able to do this. But fighting somebody who's cutting to 145 when you walk around just under 145 is not the same as fighting someone that you're also cutting to that weight. Like, and so I just, bit off more than I could chew a little bit with that one, and we're returning back down to 125 where I belong. And I think that's going to make a huge improvement as well.
Yeah, well, I mean, that in and of itself, like, jumping up, like, really, I mean, multiple weight divisions, if you're mostly, like, fighting at, like, 125 is, like, the more natural weight category. I mean, a huge jump going to 145. Like I said, I mean, two whole weight divisions.
Yeah, so I think that, fighting at my proper weight will be better for me. And I think then preparing for the smaller ring also is just really improved a lot of things, and we're going to show all that on February 3rd.
So I guess I'm kind of trying to create a bit of a mental picture, because I've actually talked to some fighters who've like set it up where they've turned the ring into a triangle somehow, like added certain dimensions to create that actual shape. Are you training in like a physically smaller, like, squared out ring, or are you trying to do that, like, replicate your own Trigon almost?
We'll just take the rope across halfway across the ring and cut it in half. Got a triangle. I mean, it's not exact dimensions to what is the Trigon, but it's pretty close, and I think it's at least making my mind have to think about, okay, if I step back two steps, now I'm in the corner. If I go this way, I'm in the corner again. So I have a more mental idea of my surface around me.
Yeah, that makes sense. And just noticing that you have previous experience in both bare knuckle and also in MMA, like, obviously there would be the distinction of like more isolated kind of like boxing work, but like, what are some of the differences between preparing for bare knuckle boxing versus like preparing for MMA? Like, are there distinct differences, or is it largely like the same kind of like boxing centric work across those camps, I guess?
Well, preparing for MMA, I mean, you have so many other aspects that you have to be able to get in. You can't just focus on your hands. It'll be a bad day for you in MMA if you do that. You need to have your wrestling, your jiu-jitsu, your kickboxing. Everything has to be sharpened during a camp for MMA, This, we do, you know, there is clinch work, so you do have to at least be on that as well. But for more, I can focus on just, like, my hands. I can focus on power. I can focus on speed. I can focus on precision. I can focus on, okay, we're doing this specific combo, this specific combo over and over again until that combo becomes muscle memory and will launch off into your sparring. Different things like that, I think, make preparing for bare knuckle very different than preparing for an MMA fight.
And in terms of, like, training partners and also, like, where you're getting in the work at, like, where are you training at ahead of this one, and who are some of the main, I guess, people who are preparing you for this fight?
I'm still training at Duke City Underdogs here in Albuquerque, New Mexico. We're up here in elevation, working, staying good. There's a few nice Olympic boxers that we've been able to get some sparring in with, and some Jackson League fighters have been willing to come and help me out and put in the work. New Mexico is full of great fighters, so it's not a hard draw to get someone to come in and spar with me in a new day. So we're definitely getting the work in, and I think when we go down to Florida, it's going to show.
Yeah, it seems like New Mexico has been getting its own, like, run of bare knuckle shows, like, relatively recently, though. Like, it seems like more activity, like, throughout that state with the sport and everything like that. Is that something that you would like to do eventually? Like, I mean, I imagine you find it cool to be fighting in Florida for this one. Like, that's probably fun getting to travel a little bit. But would, like, more of a home game bare knuckle fight down the line hold intrigue for you?
Yes, I would love to. I know BKFC has a second one coming up. They just announced it with Diego Sanchez here in Albuquerque. I would love to do a fight here in the Burke, throw down in the 505, but they fight here in New Mexico. Like, they love their fighting, and I think that this is going to be the background to a lot of bare knuckle events here soon. It only got approved legally last year, I believe, is when it officially went through. They set up the sanctions and the commission and everything, and it's all clear, good to go. So now that everything is good, I think we're gonna have more and more events here, like you see often in Florida and Mississippi and such like that. Like, they love fighting here in Albuquerque and in New Mexico, so I think this is going to be a good state for a good draw, and I'd love to fight in front of all the people that I know here and my second home that I formed here. That would be just awesome.
Yeah, that would be really cool. And also really just speaks to how much the sport is growing, not just domestically, but internationally too. Like, I love what BYB does with, like, their BKB partnerships and having certain fighters cross over and certain intriguing fights like that. So yeah, it just really speaks to the growth of the sport. I would think that would be exciting for you being a fighter within it.
And the possibilities that bare knuckle has right now, where you could go, is really endless, and that is really amazing, and that's what keeps me in. A lot of people ask me, like, why do I want to do bare knuckle? Like, you could go do other things. There's other things for you to do, right? Or you're too pretty, don't mess up your face. Don't do bare knuckle. They're like, no, it's growing. It's a huge sport that's growing, and it's taking over the world. And if I want to go see the world and have, like, I have an opportunity to go over the belt if I can get myself and my shit together. Like, this is a sport that's only growing. This is the bottom level, and it's really hard to have a chance to get on the bottom level of any business. And if you could be the one that's on the bottom level of UFC when it first started, the bottom level of Microsoft when it first started, like, you want to be that person, and that's what it is with BYB right now and bare knuckle boxing in general. So I'm excited.
Yeah, perfectly stated. It's very exciting to have gotten in at this point and kind of on, like, almost like a ground level almost. And, I mean, you've always shown yourself to be, like, very game in bare knuckle. Like, I know we were talking about jumping up a couple divisions in the last fight, but I mean, even in the, you know, bare knuckle debut, realistically, like, diving right in there and fighting someone like Britton Hart, who already at that point was pretty experienced in bare knuckle and is now a world champion. So I think it really shows, like, where your head is at, and as far as, like, what you would want to achieve in the sport and, like, the kind of caliber of fighters you'd like to test yourself against.
Absolutely, I'm aimed for the top. I don't even look at the bottom rung of anything. I'm looking at the top, so That's where the goal is set. And I really think if we have a feasibility to make it happen. Me and my coaches, we're synced in, and we're making progress every day. Everything's getting better and crisper and stronger and faster. So.
And obviously, this would be like a down the line kind of thing, but like, would that be an express goal, like eyeballing like some hardware within BYB, like cementing yourself as a champion in bare knuckle?
Absolutely, that's an express goal. Dad, I can write that down. Juarez and Medina can take note too. No disrespect to neither one of them, but I got my eye on them. Like, that's who I want to fight. That's what I want. Like, so. That's my goal.
Yeah, I mean, that would be like a bit of a go up in a certain sense, but I guess not like too far out of the weight category. Like, you'd be more comfortable with like, say, a 135 foray. Like, that would be like not like too crazy of a leap, because like, I mean, we're talking mostly like 125 would seem to be the more natural division, but even like 135, you'd like to, you know, get some accolades there too.
I like to keep it as an option. 135 is an option for sure. But yeah, I guess there's nobody leading the 125, so I, you know, that's who I have to point out, right? Is Juarez and Medina. I want to be the them of the 125s. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, for sure. So much potential in the division and stuff like that. But just in touching on this, you know, next opponent here, I was doing a bit of backgrounding on them, and it looks like they have about 13 MMA fights over amateur and pro competition, but seems to be making their bare knuckle debut here. Like, is this kind of an interesting opponent to sort of game plan for, in a sense, being that they do have certain tape that you can go and kind of check out if you're so inclined to do that, but also there's that sense of, well, it's like a different combat sport at the end of the day. Like, what are your thoughts, I guess, leading into this bout and how you may or may not be studying tape on your opponent?
I've always fought in a lot of different disciplines, between kickboxing, MMA, and bare knuckle. So yeah, and I find that a lot of other fighters do the same. And so when you go to look up footage on them, you may find footage of them, you know, doing an MMA match, but you're going to do a boxing match with them. And say, like, it doesn't seem relevant, but it's still relevant. It's still how they're going to approach you. It's still how they fight. It's still, you can read their aggression. You can read, you know, how do they react to being hit? You know, what do they like? What do they favor? Which movements do they prefer? You know, always tend to do what seems to be a habitual thing for them. So everything is of value that I can watch and earn. Yeah, so there is a lot of things out there for her to watch on me, but I think that there's more for me to watch on her, so it's probably I have the upper hand on that. But she's been in it for a long time and been through a variety of promotions, Bellator, LFA, Combat, I think was one of them. But She's not anyone that I'm looking past, that's for sure.
Just very interesting, because I find bare knuckle, at least in the debut, seems almost very, like, make or break, at least from my perspective, kind of watching as, like, a fan, outsider, however you want to say it. It seems like a very defined, like, either duck-to-water kind of dynamic, or, like, they kind of just get cooked almost. Like, it doesn't seem like there's very much, like, an in-between with, like, the bare knuckle debut and stuff like that. I'm kind of curious, like, how did you feel in your bare knuckle debut? Like, did you feel like it was something you were able to adapt to pretty seamlessly, or how would you characterize the feeling of the initial fight?
The very first one against Bret Hart, yeah, I'm like, this is what I'm meant to be. I fight, this is me. The debut for BYB, like, what the fuck? Am I doing something I shouldn't be doing? I'm really fucked up here. But, you know, that's fucking fighting. You go on the extremes. Someday you might feel like you're fucking Superman and nobody can stop you. And the next day you feel like, why can't I put anything together? Like, it just, I must be the most incompetent human being to walk the planet. But that's it. That's the risk. You can have one or the other, and it's the extremes, right? And bare knuckle is just one of the sports that it's not very forgiving. If you make a mistake and you get caught, you don't have the time to recover like you would in some other sports, like just, you know, regular glove boxing or kickboxing or MMA, where if you get caught, maybe you just grab, you know, take them to the ground and catch your breath a little bit down there and get your composure. Like, you don't have that ability. So, yeah, you see a lot of people, they go either, like, really good or really bad, but you know what? That's just the fucking risk with it.
Yeah, I mean, that's well articulated. I feel like I haven't been given that perspective on it, but that does make sense. It's like some days you're like very much able to like fluidly string stuff together and you're your best self, and then other days it's like you're barely firing off on like one cylinder. So I get what you mean in that kind of sense. So yeah, I appreciate that insight. But I'm also curious about the nickname. I always get the backstory from fighters on the nickname and the origin and the whole bit. And I was noticing your nickname being Queen of Mean. Like, where does that come from? Like, who gave you the nickname and what's the origin story and all?
Well, you guys know J.D. Burns. I'm sure you're familiar with him. He's a BYB staple at all the fights now, essentially. His father actually gave me the nickname, because that's who I started fighting with. And they let him through from my first kickboxing match on, and he just noticed in all the fights I would always end up smiling, and then when I come to practice, he just started, hey, there she is, the Queen of Mean, the lean fighting machine, and it stuck. He just kept calling it, and it stuck. So that's where I am, and I think it fits. When I find my stride and I'm in my zone, I do. I smile when I'm fighting. It's so, like, at peace. Like, you just feel like, this is what it is. This is what I'm supposed to be doing.
I was going to say, when did you first feel that connection with combat sports? Like, when did, like, the spark initially get lit and you realized it was something that could elicit that level of happiness from you?
To it, and I've always wanted to be involved in like combat sports and martial arts since I was a kid. But my dad, he had the view, like, one, you're a girl, so like girls don't do this, then you need to be a lady and prepare yourself for life as a lady. And two, he had seen Muhammad Ali's downfall and said, you're not getting hit in the head because you're gonna get Parkinson's. So he had a very strong stance against me doing anything fighting related. But it was just in me, and I just couldn't stay away from it. And again, the Army, I do a little bit of it in the Army. I get out of the Army, and I needed something to do to keep myself, like, focused and active. And my sister-in-law says, come on down to my gym. We fight. It's an MMA gym. Like, come on down. You'll really like it. And okay, I'll go, and I'm just going to train, I'm not going to fight. Like, I knew how much time and dedication that she was putting into it, and I thought, that's way too much. I have other things I want to do with my life. I am not putting that much time into fighting, but I want to train. So I get into it, and maybe 6 months into it, JD is just asking, he's like, come on, we got fights coming up. Like, you want to put your name in for one? And I was like, finally, like, you know what? Sure, like, fuck it. Let's just see. Let's try. I'm 23, 24 at the time, something like that. Let's see. And I told his dad, too. I said, I don't know how well this is going to go. I'm obviously at the end of my fighting career. So this is, like, I start my fight career saying that I'm at the end of my fight career. And he's just laughs and says, tell me something about Randy Couture or something and being 40. And I was like, okay. And I go out, I get my ass whooped in the kickboxing match. The girl was like amazing. And that's what hooked me in, was getting my ass whooped. I was like, I thought I was good, but this girl is good on a different level. And I want to get to being that good. And it just hooked me from there.
Yeah, I love that level of insight, and I mean, further indicating the experience too, like you're talking about the kickboxing, and I also noticed before you got in some submission grappling too, so you love to see the multiplicity of, you know, competition. But you've been really great with your time, Randine. I appreciate you coming on the show and giving all these great insights, but I do want to be mindful of the rest of your schedule and everything as well. So to that point, is there anything you maybe would want to add as like a final parting thought as we're kind of wrapping up here?
No, I just want to tell everybody, your listeners, and everybody, like, tune in February 3rd. It's going to be a good show. One way or another, it's going to be a fight. I promise you that. So tune in. Follow me on my social medias, Facebook, Instagram, Life of Ease, Randine will be on Facebook. That's it.
Yeah, awesome, and yeah, it should be a great time in Miramar, Florida, and everything like that. BYB 15 Broward Brawl should be a fun card. I always like enjoying watching the BYB Extreme events, and yeah, to reiterate, I appreciate you coming on and giving some great insights, Randine, and looking forward to checking out the fight here, but until then, you just have a good rest of your day there.
Thank you, appreciate it. Thank you for your time. Oh, this morning, Dylan.